You heard the legend.
Yeah!
Kickstart your day with the man who dominated the field like no other. Wayne Carey. And the sports journo who's done it all, Mark Howard. The Dead Set Legends do breakfast on Triple M.
Ducky, the so-called big guns have left the building and left the Dead Set Legends a crack at breakfast for an entire week.
They have. Good morning, Howie. What a glorious morning it is here in Melbourne. And looking forward to a big week.
How are you, great man? I haven't spoke to you since the grand final when we had a nice little discussion about Cyril and the fact that he won the Norm Smith at about 10 p.m. at the September Club.
I know. How good was that? No, it's been a busy week. I've been away, had a lot on, been over in Perth, but good to be back in Melbourne.
Well, I've just been given some information, Duck, about how the boys that are leading the ratings, obviously on the hot breakfast, they come in here at 6 o'clock every morning. And I've got a bit of a rundown about what occurs in here, which I think you need to start making a few demands on your rider. Apparently, Das comes in and immediately on the table, there is some warm water heated to a certain temperature with lemon in it.
And it just a couple of drops. You can't overdo the lemon. Can't be too much. Very pedantic, Howie. Very.
Eddie apparently has his own man, a bloke on, just to make sure his oats are soaked to the right moisture content,
Ducky boy. To perfection.
And then Das rolls up with a cereal, gluten-free, delivered at a certain time with the milk at a certain temperature with soy milk.
Well, once I found that out, Howie, I've put in my order. I've just got a glass of water. Out of the tap and some toast with Vegemite.
Low maintenance. You know what I won't be needing? You know what I won't be needing this morning after 6 nights in Bathurst?
What?
I could not look another chicken parma in the eye for a good 6
had
months.
Had a couple?
Mate, I went to a pizza place up there. They had 24 different types of pizza. Not one had pineapple on it. No.
That's not Aussie.
Well, surely that's the main ingredient.
Exactly.
I did tell the bloke behind the desk it was un-Australian. And our man, the hyphen, of getting word what he gets in the morning, he fills in for breakfast occasionally, did a week, and had a juice bill of $88.
$88?
Yes.
In 1 week?
I think I don't know. What did he have in there?
He's on one of those diets for that week. You know, he goes through his little phases.
Well, you get your glass of water. I'm in Sydney on the way back from Bathurst and I'm just sitting in a room by myself and there's a half-eaten banana in the bin and that's about all we're getting up here, Ducky.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain and secures his sixth victory in the 1000. And Stephen Richards,
following in his dad's footsteps.
Victory number 4 for Richo. Awesome stuff.
Beautiful, right? Beautiful. You baby, you bloody legend. Great drive.
Well done to Mark Winterbottom, championship leader, finishes in second along with Steve Owen.
You know where it is.
You know where it is.
You're doing
it. Triple M's Dead Set Legends do breakfast 11 after 6 on your Monday morning. That was Craig Lowndes alongside Stevie Richards winning his sixth Bathurst, joining the likes of Larry Perkins and Mark Scaife. He's only got Jim Richards, Stevie's father, in front of him with 7, and Peter Brock on 9. Mark Howard and Wayne Carey with you. It's a big weekend, Bathurst, Ducky. I've just arrived back to Sydney from a trip to the mountain.
And you don't, the accommodation, well, how are you? As I said before, I've been in Perth. I'm just staying at Crown over there, which is just a lovely resort. You've got all the different restaurants. I've basically been in luxury. You've got the nice pool.
Yes.
Accommodation not similar to that in Bathurst?
Let me tell you about accommodation in Bathurst, great man. We went up there with Network 10, a well under Craig Lowndes, a very, very popular winner. The hotel we're staying at, the Bathurst Motor Inn, its whole advertising campaign in the little booklets they put in the room that says Bathurst Motor Inn, open 1953, Australia's first ever motor inn, right? Haven't changed a thing. Not a light globe, Ducky boy, since 1953. You know when you walk into a room and it's got this sort of general stench? It had that, Ducky boy. And when you're in the shower, an old mate next to you, through the paper-thin walls, turns his shower on, yours just cuts out completely.
That bad. And you can hear everything through the walls?
Everything. Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to be sharing the room at the Bathurst Motor Inn with you and your heyday just quietly. It would have been all sorts of trouble.
And how many nights stay do you have to stay?
Well, over the weekend, it's a minimum 4-night stay. Now, you know, the good people at Bathurst, they're doing their best up there with their accommodation. But let me tell you, if you were staying at Bathurst in non-race weekend, this could only be one of those joints you drive past and it says double room, $59 a night special.
But why would you change it? They've got a monopoly on it.
Well, it could only charge $59, I would have thought. But when Bathurst is on, Ducky boy, minimum 4-night stay, 500 a night.
500 a night.
500
okay,
a night.
Okay, well, I know for a fact that we, because we get looked after by Crown, but I know for a fact it was only 275 a night at Crown with all of that luxury, spa, everything.
When you go downstairs in the morning at the Bathurst Motor Inn to get your breakfast, which is literally one peach out of one of those tins and some old cornflakes, old Doris behind the desk is in her dressing gown, ducky boy. And she was quite a large lass with the sort of top half down on her dressing
gown.
They'd
have the box of cornflakes, the little boxes. Is that what it is? Yeah.
One per person. One per person. That's what they throw in.
You're not a big boy.
Included in your 500. But listen, everyone talks about the fact that you need to go to Bathurst. I got to run around the track, ducky boy. We can't do motorsport justice on television, and for people that haven't ever been there, it is so much steeper than you think. The running up the hill or coming back down the other side of the mountain, people don't appreciate how steep it is and how scary it is. So there was a couple of big incidents there on the weekend. Obviously, Chas Mostert, you would have seen it, ended up in hospital with fractured ribs and a wrist injury as well. So it can be a very, very dangerous place.
And my man, Lee Holdsworth, finished ninth, who I had a hot lap with recently at Sandown. He did okay.
He's your man. Now, you've really become an educated motorsport patron
now,
haven't you?
He drives a number 18 car. And he's a good man, and the fact that I've now been in a car with him, I follow him very closely.
No, he did well. And Jamie Wincup last year, Craig Lowndes is in the sister car. He was leading Ducky Boy. Last year, obviously, he ran out of petrol on the last lap.
I remember
this time,
that.
The safety car came out, so the lights go yellow. You can never, number one rule in motor racing, you can never pass the safety car, Ducky Boy.
Yep.
He went absolutely flying past it. So that's why he ended up getting a pit lane penalty and pretty much lost the Bathurst weekend. Just let me give you some idea of the folk up there at Bathurst too. Three requirements for Bathurst. You got to have a beard and tattoos.
No teeth.
Oh, no teeth. That's four requirements now. And drink anything that's mixed with either vodka, a Jim Beam or Southern Comfort. And that whole beard and tattoo routine, that's for men and women up there.
I can picture you sitting in your nice hotel room, sitting in the corner, just rocking, just shaking, saying, get me out of here. It's Ben Stiller style.
It's lucky, Guru, it only comes around once a year. Hello to the good folk of Bathurst. My man, Wayne Carey, just fascinated with stardom and fascinated with Kanye. And you came in this morning, we've got 37 topics, and you said, I need to bring something to the table about Kanye and the president?
Well, I was pretty excited, Howie, because the president, Obama, obviously was pretty excited about Kanye and him being the next president, not the next president, but in 2020, and had this to say.
Do you really think that this country is going to elect a black guy from the south side of Chicago with a funny name to be president of the United States? That is crazy.
That's why I love Obama. Very, very humorous.
Well, how can he get away with it? What if our men, like Abbott or Gillard or Rudd, they try and roll out jokes, Duck? Not funny.
Well, I think that was very funny.
Yes.
I thought that was hilarious.
He is, but our guys,
No, they're not so.
Duck, there's an organisation that operates throughout the remote areas of Australia called Red Dust, set up by a gentleman by the name of John Van Groningen, who used to be heavily involved at the Western Bulldogs and other organisations. Sadly, he's no longer with us, but it goes out to remote Indigenous communities and does some wonderful work. There's Celebrity Golf Days coming up, and this man, who is a star on all mediums of the media, is heavily involved in it. His name is Santo Chilara. He's with us now. G'day, Santo.
G'day, Mark. G'day, Wayne.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Great to have you in. It's been running quite a long time now. DAS has been heavily involved in this golf day. Tell us a little bit, firstly, before we get to the golf day, about Red Dust itself. It's a wonderful, wonderful organisation.
Look, it's a really simple organisation set up by the great Johnny Van G about 15 years ago now. It's really simple. You just get sports people out into the desert to remote communities, probably the toughest communities out there, and just set a good example. You know, just this is how we eat. This is how we play. And they keep visiting the same places over and over again. So it's not like a traveling circus in and then out. And they've been doing this for the past 15 years and fantastic results. Really, really, really good results in some of the toughest communities you could ever imagine. And it's just through just simple action. It's just have a look at us. This is what we do. This is what we eat.
And you've got the big golf day tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow. Well, Howie's been out with us. He's seen what we do. In fact, Mark's been part of the golf day over the past few years as
he
well.
He can't play, though.
He's all right. He's good. He's better than me.
He just makes up the numbers.
They get really flat because they've got all these celebrities, you know, Ricky Ponting, Alan Border, Santo, and then the last group, they say, oh, you're with Howie, and they say, who's that bloke? So they get a bit flat when they have to play with me.
I think I get a bit of that with me, though, just quietly. Now, Alan Border, Angus Brayshaw, not James, Angus Brayshaw, Tom Lonergan, Jeremy O'Connell, Damien Fleming, Andy Lee, Will Minson, Limo, Mike Rolls, Robert Dippier Domenico.
He loves these days. Gets involved.
He loves those games. You can play with James Sutherland if you like.
Cricket Australia.
Shura's there. Shura Taft. Chris Dawes.
Shura won the longest drive last year.
Did he really?
Beat Ricky Ponting, I think.
And that's because he got lost on the way there. He drove the longest to get to Kingston Heath.
So can people still get involved, Santo, late stage?
They can still. All you need to do is get onto reddust.org.au just to create a group, and you get to play with one of those people. Is it a good course, Wayne?
Great course. Fantastic course.
But the actual course itself is fantastic.
Oh, the course, you mean? The course is sensational. Kingston Heath. It doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah. You know what I like to do, Mark? I like to recreate my Constantino Rocca British Open from 1995 when he came second to John Daly.
We did shoot one of the classic television stories, you and I, about that.
It's one of the great runner-ups of history. An Italian will never, ever win a major. He came so close in 1995, and I can recreate a couple of his final shots in the lead-up.
It's amazing when you go out there, Santo. It's one of those things that if you have the great treat to ever go to Gallipoli, I reckon as an Australian, it's one thing every Australian should get the opportunity to do. And I think every Australian, sadly, would be shocked if they had the opportunity to travel out to some of these remote communities. Red Dust goes out there and they're just blown away by the likes of the footballers and the netballers and the crickets and the tennis players go out there. But I don't think people really understand, Santo. I've spent a fair bit of time in Africa and the so-called third world countries. I don't say this lightly. You go to areas and communities in the Northern Territory, and they're in a worse situation.
It's quite incredible. But then there's all this amazing hope. So, for instance, when we would go up to the Tiwi Islands for years after, you'd see Austin Wanamere there, and you'd see him as a little kid, you know, with his footy, sleeps with his footy, all that kind of stuff, waiting for the boys to roll up. Yeah. And who knows, if it weren't for the fact that these boys actually go up and say, come on, guys, you can do it. Don't drink the Coca-Cola.
They just love their sport, don't they?
They just love it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it needs just that little push, and it makes AFL that more exciting when those players do come through. But that there are, you do get a shock. I'm sure, Mark, the first time you went out there, it was an absolute eye-opener. Certainly, in fact, that's why I kept doing it. I just couldn't believe, it had nothing to do with black or white, I couldn't believe that there were parts of my country that I didn't know existed. I felt slightly ashamed of myself that I didn't know that this is what part of my country looked like. Yeah.
So just give us that number once more, Santa, if people want to get involved in the Red Dust Golf Day tomorrow.
Red Dust, so it's reddust.org.au. Just get onto the website. It tells you exactly what you need to do. It's a 7 o'clock tee off tomorrow, and it concludes at 3 o'clock. You get breakfast, you get a great lunch, and you get to mix with everybody. And all these guys love hanging around. Yeah. It's not as if they're in and out. Yep. You really get to play with them, muck around with them. Mick Molloy's been doing it for the past few years. He's away this year. Luke Darcy. It really is a sensational day.
Beauty, mate. All right, just jump on the website, type in Red Dust to Google, and all the information will be there. Santo, can you stick around? Because I need you to fill me in exactly what Sepp Blatter's up to next.
Uh-oh.
Santo Chilaro is still in the house talking about the Red Dust Golf Day. Jump on reddust.org.au. You can get all the information. Play with the likes tomorrow. Golf, Alan Border, Angus Brayshaw, Santo himself, Tom Lonergan, all sorts of superstars.
Big names, Howie. Big names.
Now, Santo, you have a wonderful show on Fox at various stages. Your soccer show, Santo, Ed, etc. My favourite show of the week as far as it comes to sports. How has your take been on Sepp Blatter? He's been, the FIFA Ethics Committee has got hold of him, which is an interesting term itself, the FIFA Ethics Committee.
The Ethics Committee. I think they all get paid in cash, by the way. A lot of cash flying around there. Now, who knows what, see, I've been living with, you know, this guy for a long time. So he becomes the butt of a joke now. But I've been living with it for a long time.
Been around forever.
He's been around for a long time. And before him, there were guys And before those guys, there were other guys. And it just goes on and on. It's just these dynasties that keep coming. Now, he got slapped, listen to this, with a 90-day suspension.
Oh, 90 day?
90-day suspension. So he just can't roll up to any games or be involved in any FIFA business for 90 days. So that's 90 days where he can't receive a bribe, basically. that's what that is. And you know what? Here's the interesting part of the politics here. There's another guy called Michel Platini, who he was a former fantastic player, used to play for France and Juventus in Italy. Now, he's the deputy president. People sort of think he's the next guy. And, you know, he's no Sepp Blatter. I think he does want to change things around a bit. They've now, I reckon FIFA have slapped him with the same ban. He's outraged, thinking, hang on, I'm not at that level. Because now he can't campaign. So a lot of people are saying that this is going to work out well for Sepp Blatter because there's nobody campaigning against them.
Well, the next fella in charge, the old South Korean, Chung Moon-jeon, he was one of the vice presidents. He's on the mat at the same time as well for similar allegations.
He's got 6 months, I think. So
right. Yeah. So you're a chance. You could be FIFA president. Asante, before we let you go, Duck and I are novices at this breakfast radio go, and we're just trying to keep things going for the week. Have you got any sort of general tips? You're a media superstar. How should we approach the week?
Okay, there's a way to look at newspapers, okay? You just ignore stories that, first of all, anything black, any injuries or anything, keep clear of those, okay?
Right.
If there's Elvis impersonators or anything at all, anything frothy, go for it, okay? The other thing is try not to fall asleep at about the 10 past 8 mark. Sorry. You're running on a bit of adrenaline, a bit of caffeine right now, but then there's a bit of a hole after about 8 o'clock. You've got to avoid that little one, okay?
Hey, Santo, we really appreciate your time. As we said, jump on reddust.org.au. You can play with all sorts of superstars. Which golf course is it tomorrow?
It's Kingston Heath. And right. It's Kingston. And can I just say, have you been paying attention tonight? Great show. And we finished up with Utopia on the ABC last week. DVDs, great Christmas present for mum or dad. Actually, guys, you want to know how to do breakfast radio? Make sure the person you has on has always something to plug because there's half the interview done. Yeah.
Something or six things like you've just rolled out.
I've got a few more up my sleeve if you like.
Ducky boy, I'm in Sydney on the way back from Bathurst. You're in Melbourne. I've been in this little studio tucked away by myself. I haven't had anything to eat all morning. I'm starving. And you're on Skype in front of me eating the nicest looking ham, cheese, tomato, toasted sandwich. I can almost smell the waft through the Skype machine.
As we said off the top, we know the boys in here, Eddie, they're very demanding. And I thought, well, I'm just going to take a leaf out of their book and start demanding a little bit of food.
In front of me on the webcam, killing me. Hey, best and fairest. There's a few come through over the weekend. The most interesting one probably, we'll run through a couple, but was the Fremantle Football Club, the Doig Medal. Run us through it, Duck.
Yeah, well, Aaron Sanderlands won it, so he's won his second Doig Medal. Mundy came second, who we know had a great year. But Nat Fyfe finished fourth. And a distant fourth. Now, clearly their system, if you miss games, you just can't win it. Because if it was a different type of system, which I believe Richmond has now gone to, because Rance missed a few games and Rance won Richmond's best and fairest. Now, in previous years, that wouldn't have been the case. So just depends what system you have in place.
The Hawthorne Best and Fairest was on Saturday night, the Peter Crimmins Medal. Josh Gibson on 204 votes won it for the second time and the second time in a premiership year, which is an extraordinary achievement. Cyril Rioli was the interesting one on 194 votes, 2 votes in front of Sam Mitchell. So it's interesting how they judge it, how the coaching panel judge it. He had a wonderful year, Rioli.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. Players will say that they obviously rate a club best and fairest because your job, you get given a certain job. It's not necessarily based on possessions. Cyril Rioli and what he does when he has it. We know he won the Norm Smith, but that is a fantastic result for a guy that has just had a wonderful year. I reckon Cyril runner up.
As you say, they judge it on what his instructions are. What instructions do you think they give the little number 33?
I wouldn't have thought. Just play on instinct. Just do what you do. Todd Goldstein, obviously, that's an obvious one. He won the Kangaroos, but the other one, Josh Kennedy from the Sydney Swans won. He beat Hanbury. Now, Hanbury, all-Australian ruck rover. Josh Kennedy didn't make it. They viewed that his year was better than Hanbury. So, once again, to the all-Australian selectors, might have just got that one wrong.
Talking about Josh Kennedy, I saw Dan Hanbury on Grand Final Day. He was off to Josh Kennedy's wedding. Now, he's marrying a Colombian girl. The wedding is in Colombia, and apparently John Kennedy Sr., the former great hawk, was saying to Hannah's, hey, do we really need to go over there, etc. He's getting married in Colombia, which if you haven't been, is a magnificent part of the world.
Well, you know a fair bit about Colombia. I haven't been over that part of the world. Just to finish off on the BNFs, West Coast, Andrew Gaff. Now, we know that Pritis, both all Australians, but yep. He beat Pritis for that. Josh Kennedy finished third, kicking 80-odd goals, still only managed third. So it always throws up a few interesting results, the BNFs.
Because, I think there's one standout across all 18 clubs. Geelong, Kaji Greaves medal, Selwood third, Motlop second, Mark Blitzarves won a BNF, which is an extraordinary achievement.
It is, especially when you're up against that sort of talent as well. He had a great year, and I think a lot of people thought he was favourite, so well-deserved. Hey, Howie, what about Brownie on Dead Set Legends? I was in Perth, but the first...
You're filling in for you.
Yeah, and I've heard that he tried to sing.
Well, we were discussing the Bieber fever and his photos, and he fancies himself as a bit of a singer. Well, have a listen to this type of stuff.
Yes, but you're gonna say no, what do you mean?
Wow.
You'd never do that, would you, Ducky?
Well, you know that's untrue.
Would you ever do that, Ducky?
Well, I have. Yeah.
Would you ever go on the wireless and sing like that?
I'll tell you what, I sound better than that.
But can I hear that once more, please, Hive?
Yes, but you're gonna say no, what do you mean?
What would you give that out of 10 for a singing performance from Campbell Brown?
Two.
All right. Yep. What would you give this? Sure, you.
If I could turn back time. Well, Ricky Martin thought that it was actually, the voice was okay. It was just the wrong song choice, if you remember rightly.
I also remember him saying you wouldn't spin around the chair, but you had a couple of goes with Ricky. You came in and said, when's Taylor Swift coming on the show? The only reason or way we're going to get Taylor Swift on the show is to send her this little bit of audio.
We are never, ever, ever getting back together.
That's one of my personal favourites, Ducky Boy.
Well, Brownie was terrible. Maybe I think it was more the song choice for him as well.
I don't think either of you are that good.
We've got to stop doing that. That is actually really embarrassing when you hear that back.
Well, what happens is you sing in the ad break and Hyphen hits the record button. But you do fancy yourself to the point where you've compared yourself with an American rapper of great renown.
You know what I've just worked out?
Yes.
Kanye,
yep.
Which is basically Wayne with a K, says Kanye.
Yes.
So I want to now be known as Wanye.
How's that going for you, do you reckon?
Well, I tell you how that's going. I was walking down Queen Street the other day, and a couple of workers, I just hear, Wanye. And then we're about to, on 7, before the prelim final, Hawthorn v Fremantle, just about to do a big important interview with the great Ross Lyon, who has a great personality, just walks up, goes, how are you, Wanye? And I just...
Ross Lyon.
Ross Lyon called me Wanye, which I found very funny, actually.
If you ever had any credibility, it is now shot. Duck, you're across everything in the world of television. One of your favourite shows, House Husbands, the finale tonight, 8:40 p.m. on the wonderful Nine Network. Star of the show, don't worry about Gary Sweet or that Farass bloke. This bloke dominates. His name is Rhys Muldoon. He's with us now. G'day, Rhys.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, it's the finale tonight. Someone getting married? Someone dying
indeed.
In a car crash? What's happening?
Not just someone getting married. This is Australian television history coming up. We've got gay marriage.
Oh, really?
Hello.
Oh,
So I remember the first big wedding that I can remember on TV was Kylie and Jason in Neighbours.
Scott
and Charlene. That was massive.
Well, imagine more
Scott
Jason
and Charlene.
And Jason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was massive.
Yep.
So this is a gay marriage.
Gay marriage.
Gay marriage.
Revolution.
Tonight.
Yep.
Who's getting married?
Well, I'll just leave that up. I'll leave that. Well, possibly me and Gary Sweet. No, it's not. But
does he get you into his trailer for kissing practice?
For practice, Sweetie?
Yeah.
Oh, I loves it
because I heard he doesn't mind a bit of kissing. Kissing practice.
No, Gary has recently had a child, and he is a very his life is very together now. And I defend him completely.
Rhys, I love Gary Sweet because one of the first shows I can remember watching on television was the Bodyline series when he played.
Oh, he played Bradman. I know. He doesn't mind. Well, funnily enough, where I met the duck. Wanye Erikay. Sorry, was at a charity cricket game actually down at St Kilda, and but I don't think Sweetie played that one. But he loves a charity cricket game because he doesn't mind picking up a bit of timber.
He actually seriously thinks he's Bradman. He really
he
does.
Loves
he
it.
Paid Bradman.
But he, and he tells us we're all getting overpaid like Bradman did.
I've got a confession to make, though. He was actually bowling at one of those charity days, and he bowled me.
Did he? Oh,
did he? He bowled me.
You would have hated it.
I was
because you're not competitive or anything.
I was shattered. Shattered. I still haven't forgotten it.
I'll
never forget it.
Yeah, he will never forget it. Yeah. You can imagine. He's one of the most competitive guys I know. And I know a lot of footy players, as you would, obviously. But anything, like ping pong, golf, anything, he wants to win. Like, he's savage. But he didn't win the gay marriage. He doesn't get to get married tonight.
8:40 tonight. We're looking forward to it. Duck and I are quite fascinated by television and actors and all the skills you have.
it's like you live in radio world. What is this magical thing called pictures?
Well, Duck does his Duck TV segment occasionally on the Dead Set Legends where he gives between 0 and 5 quacks for House Husbands. Right in front of Reese now, how many quacks are you giving House Husbands? He's here, so be honest.
Well, it's obviously very diverse, and it goes through all the different things that you go through in a relationship.
This up. You've never seen it.
I have my eye across
of course you
all things. I'm looking forward though to tonight. Yeah. I'll be tuning in to watch the big wedding. You don't want to. These are the sorts of things in TV, Howie. I know you're a little bit different. I won't want to miss that because at some point, you never know when you might have to discuss it on.
Well, as an actor, how many quacks for our man Reese as an actor? Oh. Now he's done all sorts of things.
Five quacks.
There we go.
Sure.
He's a five quacker.
Five quacker. Five quacker.
Wait a second. I'm just doing a little emotional man hug at the moment. Just one sec. Just give it one sec. There it is. Okay. Yeah.
How do you learn your lines? As I say, I'm quite fascinated by you acting types, your artistic types. Yeah. How do you learn all the lines?
You try and link them to whatever the action is. Like you go like, good morning, would you like a cup of tea? You're walking over to the counter. So you just link it to whatever the action is.
Do you have the ability to ad lib or does it have to be word for word?
It depends on the scene, but with our show, it's pretty tight. Like the writers jump up and down if you ad-lib too much. Yep. I'll chuck in a little bit, but it depends on the show. Some things you can ad-lib a little bit, and other things they try and keep it pretty tight. And our show, they try and keep it pretty tight.
Play school. So, was that off the auto cue or was that an ad-lib job?
No. That's hard, man. That is hard job. Yeah, because you've got to do – it's very strictly and tightly scripted, okay? And you've got to do it in – I know. I thought when I went and did the audition, I completely winged it.
Was that the chalkboard? Was the chalkboard
– what's the chalkboard? No, that's Mr. Squiggle.
That's the wrong show, Ducky boy.
wasn't there a chalkboard?
There was no chalkboard.
Not Mr. Squiggle.
That's Mr. Squiggle.
No, there was a chalkboard.
This is when you were dropping acid, isn't it? That was those days.
There was a chalkboard that used to talk in one of the...
There was no chalkboard. Oh, okay. There's Mr. Squiggle.
I remember Mr. Squiggle.
And there was, because there was like Bill the Steam Shovel. I don't remember a chalkboard that talked.
Did you sing and stuff on Play School? Were you a singing type operator on Play School?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, well, in fact, I've just got my album. I just put out another album, kids album. Right. Aria nominated.
Is it?
Yep.
Well, give me
some
songs.
I should have remembered that, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Sing something for us.
Oh, well, I can't sing something for you right here, right now, but there's one's called Give Me the iPad. It's with Cram from Spiderbait and the guitarist out of British India. It's like a rock and roll album, you know. I've got an Aria on, but I'm up against the Wiggles. They're gonna bugger me.
So if you count yourself as a singer, you probably didn't hear it in the last segment, a bit of Duck's finest work. He did 0 to 5 quacks on you. I want you to tell me what you think about this for a singing performance.
Okay.
If I could turn back time.
What do you reckon of that, Reesey boy?
Was I at that karaoke? That was...
Ricky Martin liked it.
Ricky Martin liked it.
He said it was the wrong song choice, but he actually liked liked my flexion.
Yeah, and your commitment to it too, which is like, that's where the real tragedy kicks in.
Hey, Reesey, there's nothing you can't do. The House Husbands tonight, Network 9 at 8:40 p.m. Best of luck with the show.
Cheers,
mate. What's next?
I'm sneaking up to Sydney to do Rake. There's this show called Rake on the ABC. Right. About a lawyer. Anyway, and I've got to go up and make life hell for Richard Roxburgh just for a couple of eps and... I just want to quickly say this too. Yep. I've got to get onto Santo because I want in on that red dust golf day. I've picked up a nasty golf habit. I'm hoping that it's not raining and it's going to be red mud day tomorrow, but I want to get in on that golf. So Santo, if you're listening, give me a call.
And make sure you're listening tomorrow when Duck gives his full review of the final of House Husbands.
Absolutely. Fantastic. I'll be tuning in tonight.
Reese Muldoon, that's 8:40 p.m. tonight on the Nine Network. Mark Howard, Wayne Carey. We just had Reese Muldoon in the studio.
How good was he?
And he was fantastic. And used to star on Play School.
Play School.
And you were convinced on Play School there was a what?
There was a talking chalkboard.
A talking chalkboard.
Yes.
Well, I think Jay's played around out the back. It wasn't actually from play scores, from Mr. Squiggle. This is your talking chalkboard.
You must do something.
Something like a squiggle?
No.
One or two?
Or shall we say three or four?
I remember seeing. Now, Reece thought that I was off my rocker. And
he
said he
thought you were on acid.
Yeah, I remember the talking chalkboard because he was always grumpy. He was always grumpy.
And so he had Bill the steam shovel. You know what brought that back in my mind? I reckon that was my first ever crush as a five-year-old. Miss Jane.
Miss Jane?
Miss Jane, the blonde Miss Jane, though. Oh, there was two. There was a blonde and a brunette.
Your first crush.
Yeah, okay. Who? All right, hang on. All right, then, who was your first crush, Casanova?
Carrie-Anne Kenley.
You're kidding me. You're kidding me. Carrie-Anne Kenley. No, it wasn't.
Or Brooke and Taylor off Bold and the Beautiful.
Tomorrow, we are getting Carrie-Anne Kenley on this show. That is your one job. That is your one job, Dave. Channel 9's Christine Ahern is in Camp Road, Broadmeadows, with the latest on that shooting Nicole Gunn told us about earlier this morning. Good morning, Christine. Thanks for your
good
time.
Morning,
what can you tell us? How are you?
Look, we've just spoken to residents who have given us a better understanding of what happened here last night. They all tell us about three residents have said that they've heard four or five loud bangs. Obviously, they didn't know what it was at that stage. When they've come out, one resident said then she saw two men run down her street, which is Jensen Road, which is just off Camp Road. Then the whole entire area, as you could understand, was swarmed by police. Who then the SES conducting a line search, obviously looking for bullets. What we know from police is that a car was reversing out of its driveway on Camp Road when two men on foot approached it and opened fire. That car, in its haste to get away, has collided with another on Camp Road. Two women in that car received minor injuries and were just treated by paramedics at the scene. The driver of the car that was shot at was uninjured.
When did all this take place, Christine?
Happened just after 11 p.m. So most residents were inside, but when they heard the bangs, they came out. One resident just said she thought it was a car into a house. You know, they didn't know, but then they soon found out it was shots fired.
Christine, I was speaking to Gunners about this earlier on the show and just sort of saying it seems now every time you turn the news on, there seems to be a report of an incident involving gunshots or a weapon. You've been in the newspaper and the sportcaper for a long time, it must be said. Is this just being reported more, or do you think it's more of an occurrence?
I don't know if it's more of an occurrence. I've certainly done a lot of... there's always been a lot of shootings I've reported on. What I have noticed increase, I have been away for 2 years, but I'm bad. But what I have noticed is that there seems to be an increase in drive-by shootings.
All right, Christine, thanks for bringing us up to date with all the news there from Camp Road, Broadmeadows. We'll see it all on Nine News later on this afternoon and tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Pretty dodgy day on the way, but if you're missing the footy already, trade week begins at 10 a.m. today. It runs through till the 22nd, I think, Duck, maybe 10 days of the trade period. It's an interesting one. It becomes more involved every year, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and they're getting more aggressive. They're putting more players up, and pretty much no one's safe at their club anymore, Howie. I mean, your very top echelon players that have been there for a while, they don't get thrown up, but pretty much everyone else does. And what I'm noticing, and I love the fact that the power is back in the players' hands somewhat, so if you spent time at the club, you can decide where you want to go, and we know Paddy Dangerfield is trying to get to Geelong, and that'll happen, but... What it does for me, and once again, I like it, but the stronger clubs are getting stronger. I mean, you look at Geelong and you look at how many players. You got Dangerfield, Henderson, you've got the big ruckman from the Gold Coast.
Zach Smith.
Zach Smith wants to go there. Selwood, obviously, from West Coast. If they were to get all of those players, clearly they have to give up something, but if they get all of those, they go straight back into the so-called premiership window, which is a huge advantage. And then the Hawks, who have been able to cherry-pick Gibson, Hale, all of these guys over the years, obviously Lake, who has just retired, if they get a Yaron, they've lost Suckling to the Bulldogs, but Yaron comes in and replaces him beautifully in that back half.
It's an interesting point you make. Speaking to Josh Gibson and hearing him speak after the grand final, he said, James Frawley came here and all they tell him is exactly what they told me and exactly what they told Burgoyne, that, you come here and you'll win premierships, you'll play in finals. So it is a massive carrot. It's an interesting one, Geelong. You mentioned those names. Obviously Dangerfield, Zach Smith, the Gold Coast Ruckman, Henderson and Selwood, who's coming in, it'd have to be said, under a bit of an injury cloud. They're going to have to give up a bit, though, the Cats. They just can't bring these four blokes in, free agency or not.
No, that's right. And it'll be giving things up, not just for this year, but for the year after. There'll be draft picks that will be ongoing.
Like I like that.
Yeah, no, I like that.
That's
exactly right. And actually, one of the great TV shows with Kevin Costner, Draft Day, if you go through
that, film.
I love the fact that and how they go about it. The Kangaroos is the other interesting one. They've been able to cherry pick really nicely. Higgins and Wade, as we know. Higgins, I think, finished third in their best and fairest. Wade in the top 10.
Yep.
But they're now looking at, they're saying they're interested in a guy like Jeremy Howe, who will just come in and fit beautifully into the Kangaroos and just top them up ever so slightly.
Where would he play? Would he play half back or half forward for the Kangaroos?
Well, there's talk that they want him to play that sort of wing forward role. That's where they think his best role is, and that may be the case. But they're just getting way more aggressive now, the clubs. They are more than, as I said, more than prepared to throw up most of their list.
Jake Carlisle trying to get from Essendon to St Kilda. The Bombers saying they want that first round pick number 5 from the Saints.
See, that could fall over. I'm not suggesting. I actually think Jake Carlisle is worth a first round draft pick.
Is he worth at pick 5?
Well, at the end of the day, pick 5, how many pick 1s have struggled? Yep, how many pick 2? Yep. So at the end of the day, the pick 5 is still the great unknown. The one thing that you know about Carlisle is he's a very good defender and he's played some good footy forward. So you at least know what you're going to get. Pick 5 is a great unknown. So I think they'll get that deal done. It is still one of the situations, though, where some clubs don't want to deal with other clubs, and you've got the situation of Aish now.
Yep.
You know, Collingwood saying, you know, they want to talk to him and they'll want too much for him. So there's still a lot to play out just yet.
There's always been talk that Essendon is difficult to deal with. Do you think it comes into play that clubs are very wary of giving up those high draft picks because it can come back and bite them, and you get in a situation 3 years later that said, you know, Carlisle's done this and that, but they missed out on X player who's now become a 300-game player at the footy club?
Well, the Bombers are probably in the most precarious situation out of all of the clubs because of their situation. So, you know, and they need to clear a few out. We know that Melcham is trying to get to Melbourne.
Yep.
Now, I'm not sure Jake's sort of a first-round draft pick, so I wouldn't be giving up that for him. I don't think he's a proven performer just yet. But the Essendon one's the interesting one because we still honestly don't know what's going to happen. Is there going to be a ban? Is there not? So that still sits over their head. Yep. That has to take away a lot of their bargaining power.
Suckling to the Bulldogs, interesting move. Do you think there would have been some type of discussion with the Hawks towards Suckling about where he fitted into the lineup going forward? Obviously started as a sub on grand final day. It must be said, though, two-time premiership player, and congratulations to Matty Suckling on a wonderful time at the Hawthorn Footy Club.
Yeah, great career, and good on him. He's got to go away. He's got to think about his future. The Hawks, the one thing about the Hawks, like Geelong, and we're talking about the two most successful teams over the last 10 years, and they haven't got a player that is on massive money. I mean, Luke Hodge and these guys, who's the captain of your footy club, he's not on the sort of money. And it's interesting that all the clubs that pay that big, big bucks, and we talk about Sydney with Buddy and a couple of others, where are they and where have they been on the ladder? It's really important that you fit within that structure. And I love the way Geelong have said Dangerfield will come in, but he'll come in under Selwood. So they're not paying overs just for the one player, which is so important. And if you want success, then you'll generally take pay cuts. And that's what Hawthorn have done. So they clearly, after your career, if you win premierships, you know what, you'll make more money after your career than you will while you're in it and get a little bit greedy. So the way they set that up is perfect, and it's based around success.
Talking about pay cuts, you could take one to even up the salaries in the Dead Set Legends. Doing breakfast
not
at the moment.
Not going to do it, Howie.
Triple M, greedy. Duck, we had Santo on Chilaro earlier on talking about the wonderful Red Dust Golf Day. You can check it out online and see how you can get involved tomorrow. We're reasonably informal chaps. He put us off a little bit at the start when this is how he said hello. G'day, Santo.
G'day, Mark. G'day, Wayne.
How are you? Well,
Mark, yeah, only my mother calls me Mark. It doesn't sit well with me.
Okay, well, Wayne for me is definitely Wayne, only when I'm in trouble.
Right.
So a fair bit.
So does she call you Duck or not?
Yeah, no, Duck. Yep.
Do you introduce yourself as Wayne?
No, oh, it depends. Sometimes it's Wayne, but I'll say call me Duck. It's not the best of names, Wayne.
No, I prefer Wanye.
Yeah.
only Howie for me. I don't like being called Mark. Only my mum calls me Mark. Mrs. The kids, you know, they don't call me. Yeah, no one calls me Mark. So anyway, Santo, you'll get that next time. 15 minutes before the Bathurst 1000 yesterday, live on national television. A gentleman by the name of Gary Coleman, and I'm not talking about the...
What you're talking about, Willis?
No, not that Gary Coleman. He's the chaplain that's been involved in the V8s for as long as I've worked on it, and he does a wonderful job. And if anyone, well, needs a pep up or a little chat or they've had an accident or whatever, they can go and see Gary, and he's a very warm and friendly man. But he spoke before the race, Duck, and I'll play it in a minute what he had to say. I think at this situation, you can wish everyone luck, you can wish everyone a safe time, but I heard this 15 minutes before the race, and I'll play it, but it left me absolutely cold, Ducky boy.
Before the great race, we ask for clear thinking, courageous daring, and keen endurance for all drivers, teams, and crew. You've made us to enjoy the moment and to experience the challenges of each day, but we most often presume the right to do so on our own and to ignore you. Your patience, your love, and offer of forgiveness are constant attributes of your character that uplifts those who reach out to you. Lord, we also need to be able to drive or fly home safely, and we ask your help in Jesus' strong name. Amen.
So why, Ducky, why well, cold, Howie? Why
well,
cold?
Well, he mentioned Jesus, he mentioned the Lord, and I don't have a religious bone in my body, and I have no problem at all with anyone that is devoutly religious, part-time involvement, but I think in the current country in which we live, you've got Catholics, you've got Muslims, you've got Buddhists, you've got a wonderful melting pot of ideas and religions, and it just felt to me it was just being shoved down my throat a little bit about the Lord and Jesus Christ, and I don't think there's a place for that type of thing, especially before a sporting event. Just go out there and say, listen, I hope everyone has a safe drive, our thoughts are with you, have a great time out there, stay safe, we're thinking of you, and that's enough. I don't think there's any need to bring Jesus Christ and the Lord and all this type of commentary into 15 minutes before a big sporting event.
I understand what you're saying because obviously very diverse religions all around the world. For me, so I hear that and I get your point perfectly, but for me, it sort of goes in one ear and out the other. And I love the fact that he's blessing the drivers, everyone be safe and all that type of stuff. But
would it have gone in one ear and out the other if he'd started mentioning Allah or Buddha or whoever your God may be? Do you think that would have been different?
For me, it would, but I'm assuming for others it probably wouldn't. But there would be some like yourself that would agree with you and would say, you know what, that seriously is like shoving it down my throat. So it doesn't affect me personally, but I'm sure it would others.
Yeah, I think everyone has got a choice, and as I said, I've got no problem with what anyone believes in, but I don't think I need Gary Coleman shoving that down my throat, and that's how I felt. Give us a call, 133-53, 133-53, and tell us what you think, whether it's appropriate or your view on the whole situation. Michael from Hawthorne. G'day, Mike.
G'day, Howie. How are you?
Yeah, good. What do you think, Michael?
G'day, Duck. Well, I think you got it really, really wrong there, Howie. You know, we've got a chaplain there. He's representing the Christian faith in his job or his vocation. We haven't got a rabbi, you know, representing the, you know, Judaism, or a mufti representing the Muslims, or, you know, anyone else. It's a chaplain with the Christian religion. I think he's got a right to be able to say a few words on behalf of his religion at the same time. And Australia is, you've got to remember, predominantly a Christian faith. Now, if you don't believe or you want to believe in something else, that's all good and fine. But if you get a chaplain up, I mean, it's his gig. You know, that's what he does.
So should the chaplain be up there in the first place, Michael, I guess, is the next question from that.
Well, given we've asked him to get up there, I think he should say a few words on behalf of the religion and representing his people. You know, if we ask a Grand Mufti to get up there, he's going to talk on behalf of the Muslims, and so be it. But, or a rabbi, you know, on behalf of the Jewish population. But we've got a chaplain, he's done his job, and he's done it well. It's a separate question whether he gets up, but I think, you know, the majority of drivers and fans are Christian. I think we've probably hit the nail on the head. You know, if you want to get, you know, Rolling Stones fans to a Jagger concert, you know, you appeal to them. So, you know, there's sort of elements to say, yeah, you've probably done the right thing getting him there, and he's probably said the right thing being there. So, Howie, I think you've been voted out.
All right, Michael, I appreciate it. I hope I don't get struck down from above. Kirsty from Point Cook. Hello, Kirst.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
What are your thoughts, Kirsty?
I agree with the other caller. That,
Michael, yep.
Michael, yes. That he's asked to be there. He's included as a chaplain. He's praying to the God that he believes in.
Yep.
And he's not asking other people at any point to believe that. He's kept his prayer short and succinct and to the point. As a Christian, I believe that it's God that's in control and not us. And so to Christians, it's very important to pray to God.
What about all the people that don't believe that, though, Kirst? And as I said, each to their own. I got no problem with exactly. Who believes what. But what about the folk that don't believe that?
So if there's people in the crowd who are Muslims or, you know, whatever, whoever they believe in, then they should be praying. At that time, take the time to pray to who they believe in. Or if they are not, if they don't believe that there is a creator, then they should, you know, just take that moment and think about what's about to happen and hope that, you know, yes, the safety is upheld. So as a Christian, it's important to, we believe that it's important to pray to God.
So Kirsty,
it's important to acknowledge him.
If it was someone else, Kirsty, if it was someone else, another religion up there doing the same thing, you being a Christian, would it have mattered to you?
I would have taken that moment to pray and I would have, you know, they were asked to be there. Clearly there was, the organisers of the event felt that they were a relevant person to have at the event.
Yep.
And I would respect the fact that there were people amongst the people listening, people watching on TV. That's what they believe.
Oh, I appreciate it. It's a nice point you make, Kirsty. Grant from Warrandyte. Hello, Jeep.
G'day, how you doing?
Good. Thoughts?
Mate, I reckon that overall it was just a mistake to have him there. To my mind, about 50% of Australians actually don't have any religion at all and don't believe in it. So I think it's the suggestion that, you know, Australia is a Christian, well, it's not a Christian country, it's an atheist country. And the only thing more important than freedom of religion is freedom from religion. We all understand the sentiment, and trying to ascribe it to some magical sky fairy is essentially removing personal responsibility and trying to stick it in someone else's ballpark. It's not. It's each individual person's personal responsibility to maintain all that kind of safety. And, yeah, it was completely inappropriate.
Yeah, you might be right that the issue should be whether the Gary was put there, whether he should actually been there in the first place, Grant, and I guess that's a whole other issue. We appreciate your thoughts on it. Finally, Cameron from Geelong. Hello, Cam.
How are we?
How are you, Cam?
Good, thanks.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I'm looking from a different aspect. That's been a part of V8 racing for a long time. They've been doing a Bathurst for years, as long as I can remember. They've been doing a lot of other races for a long time as well. And it's always been a Catholic thing. You know, many years ago, no one said boo about it. But just because things have changed now, obviously people are starting to have different opinions. But it has been a part of V8 racing for a long time and should stay that.
But just because it's been a part of it, does it mean it has to remain a part of it? You know, 15 years ago, you didn't have your wheels tethered to your V8, but they've changed that. It's a changing situation like anything in life. Just because it's happened in the past, does that mean it should continue?
Yeah, look, I think it should. It's always, you know, people go there, and look, people probably expect it as well. There's probably a lot of people out there that, look, if you don't want to listen to it, that sort of stuff, you just tune out, that sort of stuff, you know. But I think, yeah, I think it should stay, and hopefully it does continue to stay.
Beauty, yeah, thanks for your time. We appreciate your thoughts.
Well, I'll tell you what, Howie, I thought that very fair and balanced view from our Triple M listeners there.
Yeah, it was, and some interesting points brought up by all sorts of people. And as you say, it's always a tricky one, so we respect everyone's religion, whether you love it or whether you don't like it or who you believe in or what you believe in. Good luck to you all. This is the Dead Set Legends Do Breakfast. We'll be here all week, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Duck, have we got some guests coming your way?
We've got plenty.
I tell you slide into breakfast, and our man Jay at the back, does he have some numbers in his book? Tomorrow, Darren Hinch comes in, which will be extremely interesting to find out what he's up to.
Yep.
Wednesday on Neil Danaher, we'll drop in for a chat. Thursday, Chris Judd, who's brought out a new book and has made some really interesting comments about cousins and the like.
I've read a few excerpts, and they've been in the paper the last couple of days. Very interesting book, Juddy.
And Friday, the great white guru, Greg Norman, will be here for a chat as well, which is, I want you to ask him about the statue he got given. It's the exact replica of himself. His wife gave it to him for his birthday, I believe, and he's got it in his front yard.
A statue of himself?
Yes.
Wow.
Indeed.
You couldn't get away with that if you're here in Australia.
No, you couldn't, but he's in Florida, so he's okay. Also, tomorrow we'll be speaking to Craig Lowndes about his magnificent Bathurst win, the sixth time he's won Bathurst. Now, Duck, as well as all those guests, we need to get someone else on, because earlier on we were talking about Bill the Steam Shovel and the whiteboard for Mr. Squiggle, and I said I had an original crush on Miss Jane, the blonde, though, the blonde, not the brunette Miss Jane, and then this is what you brought to the table. All right, then, who was your first crush, Casanova?
Kerri-Ann Kenley.
Well, Gary and Kennelly.
You put me on the spot. Yes. That was the first person that bobbed up, and she probably was.
We'll get her on the show at some stage. Where did this infatuation build? Was this when you're at the Kangaroos and you used to watch daytime TV, or was it before that?
It would have been a little bit before that, Howie.
When, was it now?
Morning, the morning show that she used to do. She was always on.
She's going to join us at some stage this week, and you can tell her about your undying devotion. Duck, I hope you've had a wonderful day. We'll be here again tomorrow from 6 a.m. Monday in Melbourne, the start of the Whirping Week. Have a wonderful day. Have a safe day. We'll be back at Dead Set Legends tomorrow from 6 on Triple M.